Superman Fan Podcast. My name is Billy Hogan, and I want to thank you for joining me today. This is episode number 139, An Imaginary Summer 2010, Part 3, Superman Matinee Idol, for the week of Wednesday, August 11th, 2010. This is actually take 2. I'm recording this on Monday morning of August 30th. The reason I'm calling it take 2 is because I was putting up the last two episodes I recorded, 140 and 141, up on the Comics Podcast Network and the Internet Archive. And I noticed that for the episode 139 that the episode length said 30 seconds, and that stood out, and that couldn't be right. So I listened to it, and sure enough, it was just the introduction, and that was it. And I have no idea how that happened. Also, I apologize for not catching it earlier, especially for the 80 people who downloaded it, expecting an episode and basically getting a commercial. But in the future, I'll make sure that I upload the whole episode and not just the first, 30 seconds of it. But on to the episode. Now, the imaginary stories for this episode came from Superman, issue number 19, the November-December 1942 issue, which was published on September 4th of that year. The editor at this time was Whitney Ellsworth. Jack Bernalee drew the cover, which showed Superman carrying an automobile, which was missing all four tires on its wheels. The car had a family on board, and Superman ran down the street carrying the car and the family with him. Now, that's what I call road service Superman style. This issue was reprinted in the Superman Archives Volume 5, and the first and last story of this issue were also reprinted in Superman from the 30s to the 80s. And it's these two stories that I'm featuring in this episode, and I was able to read them by checking out Superman from the 30s to the 80s from one of the local libraries in the county I live in. The first story of the issue was the 13-page Case of the Funny Paper Crimes, written by Jerry Siegel, penciled by John Sekula, and inked by Ed Dubrotka. At the beginning of the story, two men fought on top of a moving train. Machine Gun Mike threw Detective Craig off the train as it crossed a train bridge. And then we find out that this wasn't something really happening in the story. It was actually a comic strip on the comics page of that day's edition of the Daily Planet. And Clark and Lois were reading them. Clark's favorite was the Detective Dan strip, while Lois was partial to Prince Peril, which was a Prince Valiant type of comic strip. Prince Peril fought Torgo the Giant to protect a princess. Now, other comic strips that were on the Planet comic page were the Solitary Rider, which was a western, kind of a Lone Ranger type of strip, which should be pretty obvious by the name, and he fought the Black Rider. Streak Dugan, which was a Flash Gordon or Buck Rogers sci-fi strip, fought Gula, the Martian villain, and Happy Days, spelled D-A-Z-E, which was similar to Mandrake the Magician or Zatara, and he fought the villain Viper. As Clark and Lois were looking at the comic strip page, Torgo the Giant robbed the National Bank in Metropolis. So Clark Kent had changed into Superman and attacked Torgo. but flew right through him as if he were a ghost. Then Torgo disappeared. Then a round face appeared in the sky, identifying himself as Funny Face and taunted Superman. Then Funny Face disappeared also. Then when Clark turned in the story to the chief told Clark that next he'd tell him that Machine Gun Mike was running wild. Just then, a voice on the police scanner in the editor's office sounded an alert that Machine Gun Mike was robbing the Minton Museum. And Superman sprang into action again. He foiled the gang who were attempting to steal the museum's valuable paintings. But when the Man of Steel lifted the getaway car, which was loaded with the gang, a giant hand lifted the car away from Superman. And it was none other than a giant Machine Gun Mike. He fired his machine gun at the Man of Steel, but was surprised when the bullets bounced off Superman. But he was no more surprised than Superman was when he flew through Machine Gun Mike as he tried to hit him. The villain disappeared, but Superman was able to capture the gang and turn them into the police. And then he put on his Clark Kent clothes to cover the story, just to make sure everyone saw Clark in the area, so as people wouldn't suspect that Clark and Superman were the same person. When Lois appeared at the scene, and using the Planet's comic strip page as a clue, she guessed that the next robbery would be at the Metropolis Dockyards. Lois was unable to convince the dockyard administrator that his business was threatened. But then a giant black rider appeared over the stockyards. He happened to kidnap Lois as she called Clark to alert him to the attempted robbery. By the time Superman got to the stockyards, a gang had finished loading trucks full of livestock. Superman stopped the rustlers and chased after the black rider who still had Lois. But Superman was stopped when many floating face heads appeared in the sky around him. But then the funny face heads vanished, but then so did the Black Rider and Lois. Well, then the Martian comic strip villain Gula robbed a gold train at the train station using his spaceship to vacuum the gold bars out of the train car. Funny Face appeared again and then vanished along with Gula and his ship as well as the gold from the train. Following the pattern of the Daily Planet comic strips, Superman went to an old folks home, as it's said in the story, what we'd call today a retirement home, to warn the administrator that Viper from the Happy Day strip would rob the center. Well, sure enough, a giant Viper appeared above the facility, but then his face changed to that of Funny Face. But Superman noticed that the words Carter's Canyon were written on the side pocket of Viper's jacket, and that canyon happened to be located outside of Metropolis. Now, in a farmhouse at Carter's Canyon, Funny Face had imprisoned Lois. At the house, we learned that Funny Face had a device which he had invented, which allowed him to convert figures from the printed page into 3D figures that could walk around in the real world. When Viper returned to Funny Face and the page that he had come from, Funny Face noticed that the message on Viper's side pocket that Lois had written. Well, then Funny Face used the device to materialize all of the comic strip villains to attack Superman, who just happened to appear. Then Funny Face left the farmhouse to watch the fight, but that turned out to be a mistake because Lois had learned how to operate the machine, and she used the device to materialize all of the comic strip heroes. And while the heroes battled the villains, Funny Face took his revenge on Lois Lane by transforming her to a two-dimensional figure on a printed page. when he ignored Superman's demand to restore Lois to normal, the comic strip heroes roughed up Funny Face until he agreed to restore Lois. After all of the comic strip characters returned to the comic strip page, Superman destroyed the device and unmasked Funny Face. His real name was not given, but he was a failed comic strip creator who had invented the device to gain illegal profits. The villain was intentionally drawn as the Superman co-creator, Jerry Siegel, which is ironic because before their success as comic book creators, Siegel and Schuster had failed in selling Superman as a comic strip to just about every syndicate in the country. Now, the second story for this episode is Superman's Amazing Adventures. This particular story was originally untitled, but was so named when it was included in the Superman Archives Volume 5. The story was written by Jerry Siegel and drawn by Leo Nowak. Since I don't have any copy of the Superman Archives, and it was not reprinted in Superman from the 30s to the 80s, I had to rely on the plot synopsis provided by Mike's Amazing World of DC Comics at DCIndexes.com. The story began with Clark and Lois being attacked by Racketeer Street Monahan's gang after their exposés were published in the Daily Planet. Clark and Lois were buried in the rubble, but Clark was able to free them, but not before Lois had revived to see Clark use his superpowers, and so that's how she learned of his secret identity as Superman. Monahan's ally, Professor Hunt, teleported both Clark and Lois to another dimension using some device I assume he invented. As Superman, Clark protected Lois from a number of attacks by the dimension's creatures, and Superman defeats and forces them to send them back to Earth. Then Lois was turned to stone and shattered, I assume, by Professor Hunt, although the plot synopsis isn't clear about it. But before Superman could act, Clark woke up to realize it had all been a dream after he had been knocked unconscious when he was trapped in the rubble. Then Clark was able to free himself and Lois without revealing his secret identity, and as Superman, captured the entire gang. The featured story of this episode was the final story of the issue, Superman, Matinee Idol, which was written by Jerry Siegel, penciled by Joe Shuster, and inked by John Sekula. And this story was, as I said earlier, was reprinted in both Superman Archives Volume 5 and Superman from the 30s to the 80s. A caption on the title page proclaimed our very first imaginary story. Now, it began with both Clark and Lois having the afternoon off, and so Clark asked Lois if she wanted to go to a theater to see a movie. Lois suggested the Empire Theater so that she could watch one of the new Superman cartoons, because she had missed the first several cartoons of that series. She rebuffed Clark's suggestion of attending another theater and accused him of being jealous of Superman. And with that, Clark finally agreed to go to the Empire Theater. Once inside, Clark was worried about the cartoon giving away his secret identity. As the opening credits to the Superman cartoon began, Clark told Lois the plot of the first Superman cartoon, which was unofficially called The Mad Scientist. And that was the actual first Superman cartoon, which appeared in theaters, and you can find in several DVD collections. When the credit appeared, which stated that Superman appeared in Action Comics and Superman magazines, Lois mentioned that she had never seen those magazines before, and Clark wondered how they could know so much about him. The cartoon began as a sequel to the original Mad Scientist cartoon. He had been incarcerated at Prison Island, but managed to escape. Then, on the movie screen, it showed a series of Daily Planet headlines stating that the mad scientist had escaped. And then the cartoon showed the Daily Planet building itself. And Lois commented that it really looked like the real thing. Thinking fast so that Lois wouldn't see the cartoon Clark change into Superman, Clark claimed to have something caught in a skirt and asked Lois to help him to a water fountain. While they were in the lobby, Lois missed seeing the cartoon Clark and Lois talk about the mad scientist, and the cartoon Clark was worried about what the mad scientist would do next, while the cartoon Lois said that he was probably hiding. Meanwhile, the real Lois rushed Clark back to the seats in time to watch the mad scientist return to his mountain hideout. There he activated a giant robot and sent it to terrorize Metropolis. Well, the giant robot captured a plane, and the robot radioed an alert to the control tower, who then called the Daily Planet, which instead of the authorities, because I guess everyone knew that the quickest way to contact Superman was to call the Daily Planet newspaper. The real Clark knocked Lois's purse on the floor and told her that it had fallen off of her seat. While Lois searched the floor for her missing purse, on the screen the editor-in-chief asked Clark to cover the story because it was too dangerous for Lois. Well, Lois expressed how she felt by locking Clark in an office and going to cover the story herself. Well, the cartoon Clark took that opportunity to change into Superman, which the real Lois did not see as she was still searching for her purse. Well, she found her purse in time to watch the robot begin to destroy buildings and terrorize the city. Superman saved the cartoon Lois from being stepped on by the robot, and in the audience, the real Lois cheered the animated Superman, which thoroughly embarrassed Clark Kent. The robot threw part of a building at the cartoon Superman, and it captured Lois, while the mad scientist watched on a closed-circuit TV monitor. The robot then threw Lois, who was caught by Superman. Then the Man of Steel fought the robot and eventually destroyed it. The animated Clark, Superman and Lois then broke into the mad scientist's hideout. The villain fired a gun at Lois, but Superman stopped the bullet inches from her face and threw the bullet back at the gun, which destroyed the weapon in the mad scientist's hands. He then captured the mad scientist and returned him to prison, and then took Lois to the Daily Planet building. In the audience, Clark insisted they leave because the excitement had given him a dizzy spell. Lois was disgusted with Clark and vowed to never go to a movie with him again. As they left the theater, Lois didn't see Clark and the cartoon Superman on screen wink at each other, relieved that their secret identities were still safe from both the real and the cartoon Lois Lanes. Next episode, showcasing Lois Lane in Showcase number 10. You can join the Superman Fan Podcast and my Polis groups on Facebook, and follow both the podcast and blogs on Twitter at Superman Podcast. This concludes another episode of the Superman Fan Podcast. You can find the home website at supermanfanpodcast.mypodcast.com. Expanded show notes are at supermanfanpodcast.blogspot.com. And you can send your email to supermanfanpodcast@gmail.com. Episodes can also be found on iTunes and most other podcast aggregators, as well as the Internet Archive at archive.org. The theme to the Superman Fan Podcast is Plans in Motion, composed by Kevin MacLeod, part of the royalty-free music library found at incompetech.com. I also have a spoiler-free comic book review blog of the titles I read every week, which can be found at mypolist.blogspot.com, and you can send email about this blog to mypolist@gmail.com. Superman and all related characters are trademarked and copyright of DC Comics. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Superman Fan Podcast, and as always, thanks to Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster.